You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champ, the ambassador for the award-winning Golf Clash, the number one grossing sports mobile game in the United States and the UK with more than 90 million global downloads. And there's a new version of the official Bubba Ball, his very own custom golf ball themed nine-hole cup tournament. And the themed Bubba Tea, Bubba Hole. Now, there's a lot going on here with Bubba Watson, who joins us on the program. Before we talk about that, Bubba, if you were going to play 18 holes at Augusta and you could only have one club, which one would you choose?
7-iron.
Have you done it before?
Not at Augusta. I've played a lot of golf with one club. I've played with every club in my bag, even a putter. Just to try it. And then I just enjoy having fun with the golf at a golf course. So 7-iron is the best club though.
Why is that?
You can hook it, you can cut it, you can hit low, high, but you can still manage to get out of a bunker if you need to. And you can still play bump and runs around the green. I just feel like that's the most versatile club.
Have you ever, can you show up unannounced to Augusta and play?
I don't know, because I always announce.
but you haven't been with your guys, and then you say, you know what, let's just get in the car and we'll drive down to Augusta.
No, if I'm taking guests, I have to call and have a member with me. Even though the member is like, we'll say a chaperone.
Yeah.
And I still have to pay for him and his caddy and all those things. But if I came by myself, I would still let them know just to give them a heads up. But I haven't been here by myself. I always bring a guest or two.
And what do green fees cost?
It's a great question. I've been very blessed, and I haven't checked the bill out in many, many years.
Wait, so you don't know what they put on your tab?
It's Augusta National, man. You just play it. You'll figure out the details later.
Do you have two green jackets?
I have one. They give you the same one, you know?
But you've won it twice.
I've won it twice, yes.
Well, that's not fair. You should be able to have one there and one at home.
Listen, I'm not going to argue.
Okay.
They give me the one. I'm good.
Okay. But maybe a green robe or something, you know, like a Masters green robe for home. What do you think?
If you know of a good robe place, maybe I'll just get one made.
I got a robe guy. He makes them for boxers. We put Bubba on the – I'm sure your wife would love that. You have Bubba on the back, your big green robe there. I always – and look, being a weekend warrior, you go from being on the range and you're like killing it. Like you're unbelievable. That walk from the range to the first tee at Augusta, like have you had one of those moments where you're great on the range, not good on the course, and vice versa?
Oh, we all had that. Yeah. The golf is so mental, you know, I mean, it's physical is what we always say is what 10%, 90% mental. And yeah, you can get in your own way. As we've seen golfers, and especially myself, I've gotten my own way a lot over the years.
But what happens? Like, how do you explain that? Where that walk is not that far, but it feels like it's a long distance away when you're not playing well.
It's a four-letter word. It's called golf. And some reason we keep signing up for it. It makes us so mad, and then we come back and do it again. I don't know. That's a great question. And we challenge ourselves every day trying to get better.
What's it like when you want to hide out there?
Luckily, in the champions' locker room, you can hide pretty good.
But when you get on the course and you're not playing well, and you, in your mind you're trying to work on things, but you still got to play.
Yeah, you're hoping that somebody else is tearing the golf course up, so they're filming them and not you.
Explain to me what you're doing with Golf Clash.
Yeah, it's the best game on the on any app right now. Golf Clash is just a fun game to waste some time to play against buddies. And an easy way to do it. And, you know, we started a nine-hole challenge. I got my own tournament now in Golf Clash. I got a special Bubba Tee. You know, we still have the one-hole challenge, one-shot challenge. And so we just kind of doctored it up, made it a little bit better. And, you know, it's something fun for me to do. Some of my friends do. And I've actually played with my son a little bit. So it's a fun time and a fun thing to do.
Is Augusta set up for left-handers?
I don't know. Jack Nicklaus did pretty well being right-handed. I think six times he won. Tiger's got, I think, five now.
Yeah.
So lefties are getting better. I think we're understanding the course a little more. And then seeing Mike Weir and Phil Mickelson win, it obviously gave us hope. And then I've won a couple of times. And they, and lefties are growing. There's more lefties playing. There were some kids yesterday, the age 12 and 13 boys yesterday. There was four kids in that one age group that were left-handed. So I think lefties are coming out of the woodwork more and more. Companies are making better equipment for lefties. And there's going to be more lefties. So I guess it'll equal out at some point. You know, lefties winning here as much as righties.
When you were growing up, just because you're left-handed, did you feel like you were different, or did people make you feel different?
I think people make me feel different. It wasn't really, I mean, I just played golf. I just play sports. I'm left-handed in all avenues of sports. And so, yeah, it's really just people ask me about being left-handed. I didn't really think about it. I just played. Hey, but whatever makes me stand out, I'm good with it.
Can you play right-handed?
Yes, but worse than you.
Oh. Seriously, if we played for money and you played right-handed and I played what I normally am right-handed.
Yeah, I mean, I could play. I could shoot. You know, I'd be considered a hacker or a one-day-a-week guy.
Okay.
But, you know, if I practice, I could probably get a little bit better at it.
Well, you know that I've played Augusta twice. Bubba.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
But man, I'm
yeah.
so excited.
Yeah. 83 first day, 81,
okay.
81 next, the next day. Right.
Well, yeah, you'd definitely beat me if I was right-handed.
Yeah. But I also had the caddy who caddied for Seve, and he said, I'm going to tell you where to hit it and do not question me. And he saved me 10 shots, I'm going to guess. Because people, when you get to the greens, like you guys make it look really easy or easier. You get to those greens and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I have no idea how to read. How long did it take for you to feel comfortable where you kind of knew what to do and when to do it?
I'm still not comfortable. you know, it's funny. In November, a few months ago, the golf course played tremendously different. It was slower. The fairways were a little softer. So it changed everything we know about the course. And if rain's in the forecast, it changes everything we know about the course. And so we're always learning. But, yes, there's putts that you cannot believe that break a certain way. And you're like, there's no way it breaks that way. I've had a few putts like that where I'm like, there's no way I can trust this. And so you miss those putts and you try to not three putt.
And also people don't realize the undulation with the green. And also there's a lot of hills there. Like, you know, there's more of that climb than you really think. It feels like it's flat, but it's not.
Yeah. Every shot is, it's like you're on a slope. Every shot is a side hill lie. And so you're trying to, you know, your swing's trying to compensate for that. Trying to make the ball go a certain way. It makes it very difficult with the slope of the fairways.
Do you got your watch on right now?
Always.
How many of those do you have?
Man.
Well, you have too many if you don't know how many you have, Bubba.
Well, I've given away about five. So I think I got 13, maybe 15 at the house.
So those are, you only have two wrists. I mean,
it's, you know, you got to coordinate it with your outfit. You got to match this up. It's like these rappers, you know, they're rapping about watches, you know, and I have them, so I don't have to rap about them, I guess.
And who is it? Richard Milley? Is that?
It's Richard Mille. Yes.
Oh, I screwed up both of those names. That's why I'm not in that tax bracket where I can afford that. I can get the Patek Philippe, but I can't get Richard Mille.
Mille. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, great to talk to you. Good luck with the app there. It's called Golf Clash, and we've been talking to Bubba Watson. Have fun this week, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Bubba Watson. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Brandel Chamblee on loan from the Golf Channel. I was watching last night live from the Masters. Brando, of course, was on there. Rich Lerner. And you guys were you were dissecting Bryson DeChambeau on the driving range. I mean, that looked violent there. Did it look violent to you? And what do you expect out of him this week?
You know, his club head speed the other night was 154 miles an hour. To put that in perspective, Dustin Johnson is 119 miles an hour. I mean, the difference there, I mean, it would be the difference between, I don't know, Dustin Johnson and somebody who just picked up the game or something. I mean, you know, even if he just swung what he's been averaging all year, which is 133rd, the difference between Dustin Johnson and him is 15 miles an hour. That's the difference between Dustin Johnson and Jim Furyk or Brendan Todd. So what do I expect? I don't know. If he takes that 150 mile an hour club head speed out on the golf course, he's going to be chipping to. He said he could drive number one, right? He's going to be chipping to five. He will literally be chipping to all these. But if he has any semblance of accuracy with that, it'll be unlike anything we've ever seen before in the game.
But he's also talking about this secret weapon in his bag that nobody knows about.
Yeah, well, I think he's pretty good at working his brand. You know, he's really good at that. You know, I mean, he's good at teasing us and piquing our interest. It has to be a driver. I don't know what else it could be.
Well, he did mention Cobra quite a few times when he was talking about.
He's good at that.
Yeah.
He's good at
product placement. Yeah.
He's really, really good at that. Listen, if someone was going to give me a free Bentley, I'd probably work it in too. I'd go, I'd say it's not the Cadillac of swings, it's the Bentley of swings. I'd figure out a way to get it in. I would.
Is this a good thing? Is this what golfers now are going to try to emulate?
Yes. I think it's the tip of the iceberg because, you know, when Tiger Woods came along, nobody could do, you can't replicate Tiger Woods. You just couldn't. You can't have his imagination. You can't have his speed. You can't have his accuracy and you can't have his mind. But what Bryson is doing, there's an absolute roadmap for this. And college kids and young amateurs, they're paying attention and they know this roadmap. They can see it in all of these information gathering devices. They can see it on force plates. And so they know how to move like Bryson's moving because, you know, we saw Bryson. He was swinging 117 miles an hour a few years ago. Now he's 154 miles an hour and he's told everybody how he's done it. So the roadmap is there, and we're going to see more and more of this. And is it good? I don't know. Everybody leans in when he's hitting a driver, and they watch, and the ratings go up when he plays.
Well, it feels like he's the new star. Like, Jordan Spieth's back. Justin Thomas is always interesting. Rory's interesting. Dustin can be great, but, you know, doesn't move the meter. John Rahm. Like, people who don't know golf, it feels like no – it's like when you wait for Barry Bonds to come to the plate. You get to watch DeChambeau come to the plate 18 times, you know, during a round.
That's very much what it's like. I mean, those analogies have been drawn. You know, I mean, distance is always, alluring. Everybody leans in. John Daly came along and it was, you know, 1991. Nobody forgets what happened there. But, you know, John Daly didn't, let's just say, quite have the discipline of Bryson DeChambeau, right? And Bryson DeChambeau is also working into this golf swing accuracy elements. And he keeps trying to get better and better and better. So, you know, golf has never really quite seen anything like Bryson. He's much longer in proportion to his fellow peers than John Daly was, longer than Nicklaus was, longer than Tiger. Well, he and Tiger, when Tiger first came out with a combination of accuracy, It's kind of similar to what Tiger was doing in 97.
But I remember when Tiger first happened on the scene and he was very successful. And I was talking to Fred Couples. I said, can that swing hold up? He said, no, it can't. Eventually you slow down. Your body just can't take the torque, whatever weight you put in. Like, how long does DeChambeau have? What's his window of opportunity here?
Well, the thing with Tiger is that we don't know if some of those injuries came from the gym, but I suspect a lot of those injuries came from him restricting with his lower body. Tiger hardly turned his hips and created that massive coil But if you do that, you put so much pressure on your back. And so it really was an accident or an injury rate waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Bryson isn't doing that. He's swinging the way Bubba Watson or Phil Mickelson have swung, where he fully turns his hips. Okay, so that's less injurious on the body. It puts less stress on the body. So I hear people say that it looks injurious. I don't see it that way. I think he could go on. Obviously, his swing will slow down as he gets older, but that's not for – he's in his 20s. He's got another 10, 15 years of this.
But it looks so violent. I think his back is going to go right through his sternum. Right?
Yes, but, you know, look, Jamie Sadlowski is a player he's copied. Kyle Berkshire is a player he's copied. These are long drive guys. I pay quite a bit of attention to Kyle and Jamie. I've never seen Jamie get injured. I've never seen Kyle get injured.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see those guys getting injured because they don't restrict. And they fully release. And by the way, Bryson is paying – because Bryson, you've heard him talk about wanting to live to be 120 or 30. You heard him say these things. Like he's not planning on getting injured and hanging it up anytime soon. I mean, this guy has got.
But Brando, you know who he described? He reminds me of Elon Musk.
Like that's a great analogy. I almost made it last night. I went Sylvester Stallone riding Rocky last night, but Elon Musk, you know, and he reminds me of Elon Musk in a lot of ways. One, Elon Musk, after he made all the money on PayPal, bet it all on SpaceX and Tesla. Bet it all. I mean, took this huge risk. Everybody thought he was crazy, and it paid off. Bryson bet it all on this golf swing because he was making millions of dollars and having a nice career, but he bet it all on this. He could have shuffled off into oblivion. And then when Bryson talks, you can't quite understand what he's talking about. You have to go do Google searches, and that's the same when Elon Musk talks. So they're innovators. They're creators. I saw a quote from Zuckerberg the other day, and it said something like, the only real risk in the world today is not innovating. I mean, that is the strategy to fail, because there's so much information and so much access to information. If you're not ready to change and take risks, I mean, that is a recipe for failure. And that's Bryson DeChambeau. That's Elon Musk.
Is DeChambeau liked on tour?
I think so. I mean, there's probably a few that are, you know, probably roll their eyes when he starts talking. But I've never seen, like, if anybody gets paired with Tiger or Phil, you watch them. They walk down the fairway. If there's two or three guys, they're playing golf with Phil or Tiger. When they're walking down the fairway, the other guys are turned looking at them. Okay. There's no question who the big cat is in that group. The Tiger and Phil, when they get paired with Bryson, and Bryson's walking down the fairway, they're turned looking at him. They're talking to him. They're asking him questions because he's the guy who's done all the research. Nobody's done the research the way Bryson has, not from a player's perspective.
Any information on Tiger?
No, probably nothing other than what you've heard. I've been following a doctor, an orthopedic, who puts these great posts on Twitter, these great threads about what Tiger is likely to be going through, but I guess as he said, is no news is good news. If there was anything going on that was bad, we would have heard about it. And so the whole golf world held its breath that day, and we're all crossing our fingers that he heals up beautifully and makes a comeback. Yet again, another comeback would be tremendous.
Before I say goodbye, with all the nice things you were saying about Bryson DeChambeau, who's your pick?
I'm going to pick Justin Thomas. There's differences between those guys. I think Justin has, you know, a little bit more creativity in his game, and he works the ball left to right. You know, over the last two or three years, he's been the person who's hit more greens than anybody else at Augusta National. So, and that matters more. I mean, you always hear about how putting is so important at Augusta. Of course, it's important everywhere, but it's about fourth on the list at Augusta. First things first are strokes gained tee to green, and nobody's better than Justin Thomas in that regard at Augusta National. That's my pick.
Brando, great to talk to you. We'll be watching live for the Masters coming up later on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Always nice talking to you. Cheers.
That's Brando Chamblee, Golf Channel analyst. You can catch live from the Masters on Golf Channel for extensive daily coverage today. and through the final round there. Always love watching that. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. God, congratulations. How different do you feel, if anything?
You know what? I woke up this morning, and first of all, I slept great for the first time in a minute. I didn't need that alarm clock. I could have slept for 12, 13 hours. But I woke up, and I was like, shoot, what do we got to prepare for? And I was like, hey, we're done. It's over.
What did you think when you watched Gonzaga face UCLA? And did that change in how you prepared for them for the national title game?
No, we watched Gonzaga all year long. We were supposed to play him on December 5th. I love Coach Few, good friend. We have two people on our staff that were part of their staff. So we have so much respect for their guys and their program. So we knew what they were capable of. And at the same time, we had a lot of confidence in our group as well.
Yeah, and, but I was wondering, though, Scott, when you're looking at them and that's an overtime mm-hmm. game, it's emotional. I didn't know if you said to your guys, because you guys blew out Houston, hey, let's go at them right away. Let's test them right away and see how fatigued they might be.
No, that's a great question. What I actually thought, though, is sometimes after you have an emotional win, you start off the next game and you're really confident and you're really on fire. But what happens is that game goes on. I think you become gassed. And a lot of times you see teams emotional win. They come out that first half, the next game, and they play great. And then that's when fatigue sets in after that. Now, I was cheering for triple overtime. I was disappointed it was only one. So
take me back to what that 18 to 20 day stretch when COVID impacted your team. How much was that an impact and, you know, an impediment on your team?
Well, the first thing is there is no rule book for this. Everyone's going through it for the first time. So I reached out to several coaches and got their opinion. And like Coach Izzo, can't thank him enough for his help and his ideas. But most people said it's going to take you 2 weeks. It's going to take you four games to get back to normal. When we came back, we played six games, 14 days, traveled 3,500 miles. So you were just playing, prepping, recovering, and we never got the practice in. And then once we lost in our Big 12 tournament, we were able to practice for the first time. And Dan, I mean, you gotta, I don't care what sport, if you golf and all of a sudden you don't putt for 21 days and then you say go out and putt, you're not going to be a good putter. So we actually had to practice and get back to our old habits defensively of what we do and how we do it. And then that really was a blessing that enabled us to go on our run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. But it's tricky because I don't know if you thought the season could be in jeopardy here. I mean, that's pretty severe. I don't know. Did you feel that way?
No, definitely. You with COVID, there are no absolute answers. And I didn't know, maybe we don't come back in time and maybe we can't get back to where we were. Because for most of the season, we were top three offenses in the country and top three defenses in the country. So analytically, we were really sound. But when we came back, our defense, every game we played dropped and we got as low as 44th best defense in the country. And then all of a sudden, after we had those couple of times of practice and really credit our guys, when we practice, they practice hard. They wanted to get better. It's a player-led team.
And
put in time, they're just trying to get by. And our guys wanted to get better.
He's Scott Drew, the head coach at Baylor. He's been there since 2003. You know, you go back, you took over a program that, I think people wondered if they were going to get the death penalty, if that was going to happen with the NCAA. And even when, it took a little while to get to the tournament, you had some rough losses there. I think Yale and Georgia State. And if I would have told you in 2003, Scott, one day we're going to talk about you winning a national championship at Baylor, and you would have said?
I said, yeah, I definitely see us doing it. I would have probably thought it would have been sooner than 18 years because when you're younger, you just assume things are easier, you know. But we went to the Elite Eight in 2010, lost to the national champ, and I thought we could have won it that year. We lost it 2012 to the national champ in the Elite Eight. We're knocking on the door. Since 2008, only us in Kansas in the Power Five have won 18 or more games. In the last three out of five seasons, we've been ranked number one. So we've been close. And I know when you're close and don't get something, you're that much more appreciative when you do achieve it.
I wondered at halftime, though, because Gonzaga cut it to 10.
Yes.
And there was momentum on Gonzaga's part, and looked like your guys were arguing a little bit, and seemed like, you know, you looked up and you said, we're only up by 10.
Yeah.
What did you tell your team at halftime?
Well, we're, first and foremost, we're up 10. We're 20 minutes away from a national championship. So, but when you're up 19, you want to go into the half up 19, not up 10. But they're a great team. They're going to make a run. They're going to make coaching adjustments. But I think focusing on the big picture, and the big picture is we're up 10 and we're 20 minutes away from a national championship.
And Davion Mitchell has hired an agent, so he's going to go pro?
We're going to talk to those guys in the next couple of days, but obviously Davion was unbelievable in the tournament, and him and Jared, all tournament teams, and really came back and accomplished what they set out to accomplish.
Yeah, I don't mean to break this to you, but this is what breaking news now just said, that Mitchell, a potential lottery pick, declaring for the draft and plans on hiring an agent, sources tell The Athletic. So.
Yeah, no, I know. I just know, like, before a formal release or anything,
okay.
Yeah, we'd coordinate that probably. Everything happens on social media now.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Sometimes before the coach even knows.
Yeah.
Your brother is the head coach at Grand Canyon, Bryce. Are you going to schedule Grand Canyon?
It's much easier to cheer for them than play against them. So we prefer to play in the NCAA tournament in the Final Four rather than playing home and homes.
Oh, come on. You got to help out Bryce a little bit. Come on.
Well, if that's something that he ever needs, obviously it's business too. So you got to do what's best for you on the business side. But obviously love my brother, love GCU. So happy for them. First NCAA appearance, first conference tournament championship, first conference championship. So a lot of successful things and a lot of great things by their program, and headed in the right direction.
Congrats, Scott. It's been a long time. It's like, you know, you became an overnight sensation after 20 years, you know.
Well, it's a tribute to all our past players that helped us get here, administration, fan support, and God's really blessed our program.
Thank you, Scott. And we appreciate your time. Congrats.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for all you do for sports.
That's Scott Drew. Doesn't look like he just turned 50, but usually coaching will make you look like you're about 60 or something. But congrats to Baylor.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.